This morning, church, the title of my message is Lord and Lover. And I just, leading up to today, I've just been inquiring of the Lord, Father, what's on your heart? Like, what do you want to say? And the Lord was like, I want you to talk about me. I just want you to talk about me. And I was like, well, Lord, where could I start? And I kept landing on this place of what it means to walk with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, but also the lover of our souls. And so I pray that this is still an ever-evolving, ever-growing revelation in me. So I pray that my words can do it justice, do what God is doing in my heart. I hope it's articulated well. I've got tissues in my pocket, so, because I'm just warning you, I'm a crier. I also have paint all over my hands. I'm sorry. We're currently renovating our house, so it's not leprosy. I just thought I'd clarify. It's just paint. I feel, I've got to be honest, I'm very raw at the moment. We are in a season of transition. God's called us out, and look, God bless Americans, but I'm going to be honest with my church family and say America was the last place on earth that I thought the Lord would send us to. If you are American, God bless you. I need to start learning your anthem, all of the things. But so I just want to, all of this, what I'm about to share, it's very raw for me, church, because this is the tension in which I'm holding right now in this season, is that God, you're not just the lover of my soul, but you are the Lord and my Lord and Savior, so that when you tell me to go, I won't argue with you because I trust you. I trust your nature. And I feel like the Lord is not just, it wasn't just a word for me. The Lord was like, I want you to share about me, because I believe there's many of you here today and you need a fresh revelation of Jesus as our Lord and our lover. I want to read this scripture from Proverbs 1, verse 7. And it's simply, the fear of the Lord. Everyone say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Say, the beginning. It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what I feel like we don't talk, I've grown up in church my whole life. Something that I'm thankful for, and we sung about it today, the blood of Jesus. Because that's the good news of the gospel. We weren't worthy, but it was through the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we were permitted to enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? But something that I feel like we have strayed away from in the past, I would say 20 years in the church. To give context, when I grew up, as a child, I remember there was this man that used to come to our church. I think he came a couple of times. I don't want to name him because I think he had a wonderful ministry, but it was very much turn or burn. Do you guys remember ever being at church and it's like turn or burn? No? Maybe just me? And I remember this man, he would have this massive banner in the church back at across the road at Kings Park campus. And it was like this really intense illustration of like the timeline of the tribulation. No? Okay, I could just be the only person who experienced this. But it was so terrifying. It was actually terrifying. I would look at that timeline. There was like illustrations. I hope all the children have gone. There was illustrations of people like with their heads on guillotines. Guys, this was no joke. It was like just super casual, go to Sunday service. There's a banner of someone getting their head chopped off. Praise the Lord. But it was very much turn or burn. And I think it kind of was a bit extreme. And that's why I think in the past 25 years, it's kind of vacillated to the other extreme where, and it was good, it was healthy. We are having that fresh revelation of grace where there's like, oh God, your grace is so good. You know, God's kindness is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness that you don't condemn us, but God, you invite us to come and have communion. But what I find very interesting is I think where we're about to shift into in 2024, and this is, I think, the prophetic sense, what I'm hearing other reputable prophetic voices, is that we're entering a definite shift in our culture where we as the body of Christ, we need to know who our Lord and Savior is, where He's not just all turn or burn Lord, the fear of God. But we also need to, and also not in the extreme that God is all grace, God's all kindness. Because what I'm seeing, and we could talk about it afterwards, I feel like the New Age movement has really pervaded our culture in the body of Christ, where we are now taking New Age ideology and turning it into, it sounds very much like Jesus, but it's far away from Jesus as being Lord, because all of a sudden I'm Lord. I'm Savior. There's no more fear of the Lord because it's what I feel. It's my truth. Jesus, there's no one Jesus. Jesus, it's a consciousness. It's in everything. And if we are not discerning in these times, church, you're going to get swept up in a spirit that is completely satanic. It's going to steer us. It's going to steer us into a version where we think it's godliness, what Paul shared with Timothy, but it's denying the power of God. It's a form of godliness, but it's denying the power. In fact, I would even go as far, it's just a lie. It's a lie from Satan. He's done this, Satan. I don't want to give him glory this morning, but I went back again and I'm like reading afresh the fall of man. Satan, he is our greatest enemy. I'd like to remind you that you have an enemy who wants you to not fear God, to trust His ways, and He also wants you to know that God is not the lover of your soul. He wants to distort the very nature of God so that you take an ideology that sounds like it's good, but it's actually leading to destruction. And I feel so strongly this morning that we need to sober up. Sober up as the body of Christ. I'm not saying it's turn or burn, but I am saying the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning. That's where we start. If we want to know and grow in our relationship and our knowledge of Christ, it must start with fear. Now, in the Hebrew, if we go to the next slide, that Hebrew word for fear, yirat, I'm yoloing this right now. I have no idea how to pronounce that properly. But you see the word next to it? It's reverence. That's very different to when you're fearful and you're terrified. The response of the fear of the Lord is actually when you go, whoa. We were in South Africa recently and we've been privileged to see the Big Five. But there was one moment where I had never seen. There were like these... my brother-in-law, he said that elephants that have extremely long, like the tusks that go like really whoop, like that, it shows the age of these bulls. And he said that it's very rare to find these bulls because they're just very old. We weren't even near them. We weren't even close to them, but we could see this whole line of probably of like 10 or 12 enormous elephant bulls slowly walking. I had this revelation in that moment of the fear of the Lord. I have never been so like, oh my goodness, that is a majestic animal. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, that is a glimpse into what it means to have the fear of me, to be in awe of me. It's when we see Him and we experience His glory, we're not terrified like, God, I can't be near you. It's a weightiness. It's a responsibility to respond appropriately. And I think it's interesting in our context in the West, the idea of having reverence for authority is becoming less and less. And it's pervaded our culture that we don't even realize it. And I even think in the Aussie ideology, we know it. And look, I'm all for a laugh. I grew up in Australia. You know, I know I look Asian, but I'm a banana. I'm yellow on the outside, white as heck on the inside. I grew up Australian. I know the Australian colloquialisms and, you know, she'll be right. And, you know, Australians, we love to have a little dig at authority, like, oh, you know, like have a laugh with the policeman. You know, that it's like in our framework as Australians, that level of authority, it's we're more like we want to be mates with each other, yeah? Am I talking to, yeah? So you can imagine when we bring the gospel into our Australian psyche, our ideology, just Australian, just even North Queensland, it becomes a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about having the fear of the Lord, in my opinion. I feel like Australians, I'm not speaking for all of you here, but I reckon it would be very, it wouldn't be uncommon for most Australians to kind of turn up their ear like, yeah, God, I can accept the part, God's my mate, God's my friend, God's, you know, where I want to hear, God, you just tell me things that she'll be right. Like, God, I'm good. Hey, I'm good. We're good. But don't challenge me. Don't challenge me about sin. Don't challenge me about things that a little bit uncomfortable. I don't like that. I could be speaking to myself, but these are the things that Satan, he's working very hard distracting the body of Christ to slowly chip away at the full nature of God so that we're left with either a very angry God or we're left with a version of God where it's like, anything goes. God's kind. Does that sound familiar? The Garden of Eden? Eve, like, eat the fruit. Oh, God told us that's the very thing we shouldn't touch. God's our Lord. He told us, no, we shouldn't touch that. Did he really say that? Did God really? Will you, like Satan says, it's like, will you actually die though? Is that not a direct hit at the nature of God? And I think Eve was very naive. She was like, yeah, right, true. God never, huh. And that is the manipulation and the trick and the bait of Satan, that he deceives God's people, us. We were originally made, we were co-heirs, we were co-laborers, we were reigning with Christ. And the devil hated that. So he's been working like a terrible PR marketing executive, whatever you want to call it, to completely obliterate and bludgeon the character and the nature of God so that we are left with this form of Christianity. It's void of any transformation. It's either ultra religious or it's ultra feely, but there's no boundaries. Am I making sense to someone here? I believe the fear and reverence of the Lord is the foundation of your faith. Jesus is the cornerstone. Everything, if you build your life without Christ, your house is going to fall down. And I think right now at the moment, like we're renovating our house. Look, we are not handy people, okay? We know our grace zone. God bless the people who can flip their house and it looks amazing. We are struggling so much right now with even just, I'm not going to get distracted, but yeah, bless. If you want to have a good laugh, come to our house. But it's this idea of we're getting a building and pest inspection right now because we're wanting to plan to sell. And it's that thing of, it's all of the unseen things, right, that makes the house stand. And we wanted someone to check over that so that no one's going to, you know, the house isn't going to collapse due to termite damage or whatever. We don't know. That's why we need that perspective. And sometimes I feel like this stuff that I'm talking about, it's like the stuff we don't want to talk about or we forget to talk about because it's the stuff that we don't see. Whereas I feel like if you build our house on Christ as our cornerstone and lay the foundation of the fear of the Lord where, God, I revere you first. You are a holy God. If you step in this room, I'm literally going to be flat on my face because you said in your word, no man can see my face and live. Like that, when we start there, I think the beautiful thing about God is that we can start growing into friendship with the Lord. And too often I think we've jumped into friendship with the Lord, but without that fresh revelation of the reverence of God. That if God said, hey, if I call you to do this and sacrifice this and do this, it's not a, I'll think about it. It's a, yes, Lord. One of the most frightening scriptures for me in the Bible is when Jesus is in Matthew, if you've got your Bibles, it's Matthew 7, 21. This is Jesus talking. I've highlighted the parts where I'm like, woo. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, not a few, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Drive out demons in your name? Perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did what? It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock, on the truth. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. And what? It fell with a great crash. You know, what's really has been breaking my heart in the past decade has been seeing men and women who've had radical encounters with the Lord, who've been healed, who've been transformed, who've experienced the kindness of God, set free from drug addiction, limbs growing on their body, healed from the inside out, like emotionally, mentally, and then they walk away from the faith. It breaks my heart. God doesn't love them any less. He loves them. He's pursuing them. But I've wrestled with that to be like, God, why is it that the statistics aren't always 100%? And I feel like this scripture is what it all boils down to. It's if we say that we love the Lord, we have to acknowledge him as Lord and we do what he says. We obey his commandments. We read his word, not as a suggestion, it's truth. We read his Bible and say, Lord, this, the word, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Your written and your rhema word, your spoken word. That is truth. I'm not going to negotiate. And it's funny how I look at culture. I look at our Western, I keep going back to it, but I feel so strongly, church, if you don't get anything from today, get this. You need to have your discernment on. The only way you can have discernment in these days is if you know the true nature of Jesus. If you know his voice. If you love him. Because at the end of the day, you can't say, Lord, I did all these things for you. And he's like, but I didn't know you. I didn't know you because you didn't let the word pierce you. Bill Johnson from Bethel Church, he had this, I keep going back to it, he said, oftentimes we think the sword of the Spirit, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, is that we, you know, we take the word and we like, you know, we pray it out and we like, pierce the atmosphere. He said, yeah, that's great. But he said, I actually think it's the word, the sword of the Spirit piercing us. Did you all get that? The word of God pierces our hearts. I don't know about you, when I read the word sometimes, I mean, I need to make a confession. I've never read the Bible cover to cover. You kind of like, Pastor's Kid 101, yeah, Genesis, yeah, Noah, yep. Leviticus, blah. Numbers, blah. Skip to Prophets, blah, you know. Oh, Jeremiah, oh yeah, for I know the plans I have for you. Yes, Psalms, yep, mm-hmm. Then skip over to New Testament. Like that was, And the Lord's been like, read my word, like read it cover to cover. And I've like had to go back and read it again and again and like pause and be like, what's that nation? Like going, like actually studying the word. But it's like, as I'm reading it, there's moments where I feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. And church, I even wanted to say today, repentance is a gift from the Lord. Conviction of the Holy Spirit, it is a gift of His. When His word and truth pierces our heart that we have godly sorrow, it's not guilt. The difference with guilt is we feel, oh, I feel bad, oh. And it's a perpetual cycle of just, we're not being transformed. Whereas I believe the gift of repentance and conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's where it takes us back to that reverence. Hey, look at God, look how holy He is. He's calling you into friendship with that. And then we go, I'm not worthy, but God, I need you to transform my heart because I can't kick this addiction. I can't kick this way of thinking on my own. I need you, Jesus. I need you to empower me. I need you to come and fill me. It's not a, oh, you didn't pass a test. You better go away, fix yourself, then come back into my presence. No, no, no. The gift of repentance is that we can daily, if we need to, just say, God, I need you. I need you so much. I depend on you so much. I can't kick, like, can we be really real here, church? I need help with kicking addictions in my life. I need help to start, take every thought captive of depression and suicide. Maybe this is you. This is not me speaking, but I'm saying maybe this is you today. God, I need your help. I struggle to forgive that person. They hurt me so badly. I can't forgive them, Lord, but I need you, Jesus, to help me because I know that when I don't forgive, you can't forgive me. These are those moments of faith, church, where I feel like the Lord is wanting to put His finger on in our hearts, to press in love, to be like, I want my church, my bride in these last days to be people whose houses are solid, whose houses of faith people can run to, and not because there's anything that we can boast about, but we just boast in Jesus. I want to be someone where God has done such a work in my life, continually renovating my heart, continually breathing in my heart so that people who are needing refuge can come and dwell in the presence of the Lord in me because I've built my house on the truth of Jesus Christ. I've built my house on the revelation that it's first the reverence of the Lord and then the fruit, the next thing is obedience. So I want to ask you, how can you tell if you really love Jesus? It's simple. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. It's really that easy. If we come on a Sunday and we go out about our week and we say, Lord, you're the way maker. I love you, God. But we go in our week and we turn on and we watch things that are just absolute filth, turning us and distracting us away from the truth of Jesus Christ. When we go and we slander our neighbor, we gossip and we're unforgiving, that is not obeying the commandments of Jesus. If we love Jesus, His word pierces us. His truth pierces us. So this morning, I want to invite the worship team. This is why it's so raw for me at the moment. All of my flesh does not want to go to America. We live in a great house. We live in the most wonderful community. Like our street is the best street in Mackay, and you can't argue with me about it, okay? We live across the road. We live in the same street as our dearest friends. Our daughter she's got the most precious friendships. To leave is like, God, why? Our family is here. God, what are you doing? But church, I'm just so aware of the time that we're living in. God's looking for places where he can dwell and entrust his presence in. But I believe God can't dwell fully in us when we're living with this dualistic perspective of who he is. It's a distorted view of his nature. We're not choosing yes to America because we're like, oh, we better do it because otherwise God's going to punish us. No, it is the byproduct of us saying, Lord, we love you. We revere you. And because you are continuing to reveal your good nature to us, that we can trust your voice. We can trust you, even though, I love that we sung that out today, even though I don't see it, you're working. That's faith. That's why we're called believers. Hello? If we say, I believe in Jesus, shouldn't our life be that, where we just have that trust? But for a lot of us here, we can't trust the voice of the Lord because we see him as either a scary, turn or burn God, or we don't see him like that at all. It's, Lord, you can fit into my life. I suppose I can slap on coming to this on Sunday and that'll appease my conscience. No, no, no. If you can hear my heart today, church, where we're about to enter into, there's a new shift. There's a shift in our culture. And I want to say this carefully, but I really have that sobering weightiness of God's voice saying, I need you to come close. I need my children to come closer than ever before so they don't just know about me, but they know me. They obey my words. They don't just say they will. They actually step out. They do it. There's that healthy reverence of the Lord. I'm even sensing in this moment, there's some of you here and you've been caught up in that deconstruction. That's also a wicked thing that's damaging the gospel. But I'm not going to let it. If on my watch, that whole thing about deconstructing faith and that, oh, look, you know, the Bible, it's not the full truth and blah, 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 blah. Church, I believe there's people here today that's been wrestling with that. You've been wrestling, you've been listening to a lot of New Age ideologies. I believe there's some people here today, God's just gently highlighting there's some things in your house. There's some altars, whether physical or metaphoric, where the Lord's like, I want you to give that up. There's people here today, you know that the Bible says that if you cannot forgive your brother, the Lord can't forgive you. It's harsh. Oof. But like I said, we don't talk about this enough on a Sunday in our gatherings. But I feel that weightiness of the fear of the Lord, that there's some of you here today, you need to forgive. You need to release that bitterness. You need to choose to forgive that person and release them because that is what the Lord's instructing you to do. Some of you here, you have addictions. There's addictions to pornography. Pornography is the most wicked, evil, disgusting, vile of filth that Satan has put in front of our generation to keep them bound and in bondage. Because he knows that when there's redeemed people with godly imaginations, we are unstoppable. So what does the devil do? He's like, I want to destroy and emasculate a generation so that they're imaginations and the things that the Lord would want to use to redeem, to bring chains and shift into an atmosphere, he wants to dilute that and render you powerless. With every head up and every eye open, we're not bowing our heads today, church. I believe there's people here This, I want to stress, this altar is nothing extra special about it, but it's that declaration of stepping out in boldness to say, Lord, I'm responding by faith. I'm responding to your nature. So this morning, if you need to come and do business with the Lord, maybe you need to repent. Say, God, I have not made you Lord of my life. I have not made you Lord. I've made you an accessory. I've added you to my collection of all my other gods, all my other things. But today I want to say, Lord, out of reverence, because I know that you're a good God. Oh, Lord, show me your nature afresh today. I want you to come and stand on this altar or kneel. Don't wait for me. Just come. Just come. Some of you, if you need to just come out and just do business with the Lord, just come. Just come. Don't worry about the person next to you. We don't need fear of men in this place. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come. Come, rededicate, redevote, reconsecrate your heart today. Lord, you're not just my friend and my lover, but Lord, you have full access. I even pray today that their sons and daughters, they need a fresh revelation of your kindness. Jesus, make yourself so known in this place. Maybe your heart's beating. Just come. Just come. Jesus. 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 Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Can we just stand in this place? Rest of you, just stand in this place. Let's just raise our hands to heaven. Oh Lord. Holy Spirit. Set our hearts ablaze, Jesus. Holy Spirit, may we be entrusted with more of your glory and your presence. May you find a worthy home to come and abide in. May we be a people who don't just say with our words that we love you, but God, with the fruit of our life, may it be an offering unto you, Jesus. Lord, that we would not just be about giving lip service to you, but Lord, we would mean it in our hearts. We would consecrate our hearts afresh today. Oh Lord God, I even thank you that even right now you're dropping visions and dreams afresh into people's hearts where they felt that you were a harsh God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. May we have hearts like David in the Bible, Jesus. Holy Spirit, where we are so tender towards you. We're tender, Father. We're softened to your voice. We're not hardened and calloused, but Lord, soften our hearts today. Jesus, Jesus.